The text before us today is also the theme for our college, taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Imagine if it were possible to take a small microphone and drop it down into hell. The kinds of conversations, discussions, and things that you might hear. The Bible actually does that for us. Our Lord Jesus, in his great parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which may possibly have been a real story, tells the account of these two men, one who was rich and had no faith, and dies and is sent to his eternal damnation, and the other man who is very poor, begging, and yet has faith in his Savior, and when he dies is taken to the bosom of Abraham, to heaven. And then we hear the discussion that takes place. And this rich man in hell cries out to have even a drop of water to cool his tongue, if you remember the parable. But what's interesting in that parable that Jesus tells is this man's comments about his brothers who are still living in this world and in this life, and how he wants someone to go back to them and tell them that they need to go and listen to the word, that they need to believe, or they're going to end up in the same place he was. All of a sudden, he becomes the world's great evangelist. Problem was, it was just too late. He came to clearly get too late, but he claimed to clearly understand what Jesus is talking about in the home of Mary and Martha, that there is one thing that is necessary, one thing that is needful in this life. The painting behind me is found in many images on this campus. You'll see it in the stained glass windows in Old Main. And the name of Bethany is for the very town in which our text takes place, where Jesus would occasionally go and relax, you might say, with this family, Mary, Martha, and the brother Lazarus, different than the Lazarus of the parable I was just reading about. And both of these sisters now are engaged in different activities. What Martha is doing is not wrong, but what Mary is doing is better, Jesus says. This is the one thing, he says, that is essential in life and necessary in life. So what is it that she's doing that Jesus praises so highly? Whenever someone sits at the feet of Christ and is nourished by his word, where he teaches us the way of salvation, where he teaches us the truth about our sinfulness, that getting to heaven could never happen by anything we do or even help with, but that he has come to accomplish it all for us through his great work, and where that is delivered and dispensed to us in the world through the preaching of God's word and the meditation on that word, this is all that really matters. This is what is essential. My dad used to talk about how this text so beautifully depicts two different aspects of a Christian's life, sacrificial and sacramental, if you remember learning those terms in your religion classes. That which is sacrificial are the things that we do for God, symbolized here by the work of Mary, busy making supper and getting things ready, maybe cleaning the house for Jesus, doing wonderful, great things for her Lord. And then here is Mary, symbolizing for us what we might say is sacramental. In a sense, doing nothing but sitting still as a humble sinner, listening to the saving words of her Savior, meditating upon what God has done for her, simply being a recipient of his grace. Depicted right here, we see those two great theological concepts, sacrificial and sacramental, both important to God. But what trumps everything in the eyes of God in heaven is the sacramental, how God comes to us, how he brings Christ and his saving work to us. Now, Jesus doesn't chastise Martha for caring about a good supper. He says, you are worried and distracted by many things. He doesn't say that they're bad things. I bet Jesus thanked her for some awesome lasagna that night. I bet he praised and thanked her for how well the house was kept and her hospitality to him. God cares about the things of our life and the things that are maybe less necessary but still important. God cares about the education that we receive and the various studies and things that we're going to go into, the vocations that we're going to pursue. God cares about how we go about our daily chores and our duties. He cares about all of that. He has a lot to say in the Bible about that, too. It's all important to him. Don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. But above and beyond all of that, there is only one thing that is essential, one thing that is necessary. And through these words, our Lord Jesus wants us to take a spiritual check of our lives. And he instructs us on what really matters and where our priorities should be. The devil loves to permit us to see Christ and his word as something needful. The only part of Jesus' words that he really objects to is the word one. He doesn't mind if you think of the gospel as something needful. He's more than happy to let you pursue that and think it's an important thing in your life and to keep it up very high on your list of priorities. Just don't quite make it number one. He's more than willing to let you think that that's something that's important in your life, but maybe just not top shelf. Satan doesn't come along in our lives and try to remove our love of Christ and the gospel and our hope of heaven. He doesn't try to remove that quickly from us. He's smarter than that. He knows we wouldn't buy that. You wouldn't buy that. Instead, he's going to try to do it slowly, incrementally, just with little shifts in priorities in your life, shifting the things that really matter to you right now. He's more than happy to convince you that, and me, that, yeah, that Jesus stuff and the heaven stuff, that's good, and someday you can go back to it. When you retire, you can always go back to it. But for right now, there's something else that matters more. He's even willing to let you possess the doctrine of Christ in an academic way, in an intellectual way, and fill your brain with biblical knowledge and the knowledge of any Lutheran theology you ever want and the history of the church, as long as he can have your heart. There are many ways that that one thing that is essential and necessary can be taken away from us. And today, I'd like you to consider this, you young people, as you look at establishing your home and your family in the future. How will you model and demonstrate to your kids someday that this is really what matters? And this is all that really matters in life. Will you let them be worried and distracted about many other things? I can't tell you how many pastors have talked to me being frustrated by the fact that they have to try to convince members of their church that having their kid involved in a sports activity is less important than going to confirmation classes or coming to church. What a sad battle. What, do we all think we're going to be NBA stars? How foolish. How empty the things of this world can be when we compare them to the one thing needful. May that never happen in your house. May your children know and understand this is all that matters. Christ, heaven, his word. My mom grew up in a house where they had daily family devotions at breakfast and supper every day. And she told me that she many times wished that she could be out playing with her friends because she thought she had better things to do. My mom died about 26 years ago. My grandpa died about 50-some years ago. I'd like to think of them in heaven having discussions about that now, and my mom laughing about how she thought about that as a child. May God give all of us a spiritual checkup in our own hearts and lives, and get rid of all the clutter and realize what really matters. We have no need to send a microphone up into heaven. Christ himself has come to us and given us his word and described to us what the conversations are like there and how beautiful that home is and how important it is. And it's the very purpose of his whole mission of coming here. It's the very purpose of why he put that faith in your heart and baptized you into his name, so that you could someday join in those heavenly conversations. Make that your number one goal in life. Amen.